Along with the idea that I should upgrade my troop carrier, do something different, I've had a huge amount of people, well, at least three, ask me, why don't you tow? And actually, it's been a long-running question. Why don't I tow? So I've combined this this video into a story as well. There is a story behind why I don't want to tow. It was in 2009, I had picked up quite a nice sponsor in a company called Jurgens Caravans. Now, my history with Jurgens had been peppered with some quite bad experiences, and I'll give this piece of the story. I'll rush through because I could do a story time all on its own. But the company Jurgens came up with an off-road caravan, and at an overland show, I was asked, would you like to come and have a look at it? And I said, yeah, I'd love to come and have a look at it. And I'd already written several books. I didn't have a TV show at that stage, but I'd done a lot of books and lots of magazine articles. Went to have a look at it, and I said to the designer, do you want me to blow smoke, or do you want me to tell you what I think? And he said, no, I wanted you to tell me what I think. Which was not the case at all, because I said, you know, I think the concept is really good. I really think that, I mean, if this all, you know, is well built and it stays together on rough tracks and things, I think the concept is really something. But you're going to have axle failures. What do you mean? You've used a rubber torsion axle. Yes, they don't last on corrugations. They rip themselves apart. But we've put in an extra time. I said, two manufacturers, trailer manufacturers, have been there before you, use this very axle on their trailers, and they have all broke. And one of those companies went bankrupt because of it. And the other one stayed alive by investing a lot of money and replacing and recovering and, you know, going into the middle of nowhere and bringing back broken trailers. Well, he got very angry with me. The consequence of that was I wrote in my book, the fact that the Explorer has a 1.6-ton rubber torsion axle is a serious mistake in its design. Several local off-road trailer manufacturers have used rubber torsion axles on their trailers and all have regretted it. I was sent a letter by the CEO who said, dear Mr. White, please retract your statement. Please reprint all your books and please print the following. And the following was, the trailer's fantastic and the axle's fantastic, and it was all of this kind of, you know, sales hype. It was their own PR story that they wanted me to print, and they insisted and they threatened me with legal consequences if I didn't. So I said, well, go ahead with the legal consequences, because I understood a little bit about this part of the law. And I said, well, you just go ahead. No problem at all. You know, I am completely safe. It's my opinion. He cannot sue me for my opinion. I got a phone call not long after that and I'm sure she won't, maybe I won't mention her name just in case. She was the deputy editor of a magazine, I will mention the magazine, called Getaway. Getaway magazine is South Africa's biggest and still remains its biggest outdoor adventure travel magazine. And they have quite a large four-wheel drive travel component in it, did then, still do. And I had a phone call. Andrew, what do you know about the Jurgens Explorer Caravan? I know a little bit about it. Why? Have you had one on test? She said, yes. I said, it broke, didn't it? There was a pause and she said, how did you know? And I said, well, it's bound to break. What do you mean? I said, did the axle break? Yes, and did it collapse? Yes, on the one side? Yes, and it kind of just folded up and suddenly the wheel was now rubbing against the body frame of the caravan, and you couldn't pull it up. How did you know? And I said, they've used the Rubex axle. They've used the wrong axle. I knew it was going to happen. And I'm glad it's you, because I know you. I know your writing. And you will actually report it. And she said, well, I thought it was us. I thought it was a fluke that it had broken, so I didn't know what to write. And I said, I promise you, it's not a fluke. So I gave her a little bit of history, and she published it in Getaway magazine. Well done, Getaway. However, in the next edition, or the following edition of Getaway, they had retracted the article and they had printed almost the exact letter that I had received from the CEO, and they had printed it in the magazine. And there was some nice glossy advertising for Jergens. Okay, that's part one. Okay, just to conclude part one, they did actually change the axle. They changed it. They did. They realized that they had a lemon. And anyway, so that was the end of that story. So that was my first kind of contact with Jergens, the company. 2009, they contacted me and I landed quite a nice deal from them, and they said, we'd love you to do some caravanning in our TV series. So the TV series we shot, and they were a big part of it. And in my, it was the reason why the search for the source of the Okavango, I was traveling with the producer, and he was pulling one of these smaller caravans. Smaller one? No, I think it was a full-size one. Whatever. That's why he was with us. Otherwise, I would have said no. And it did well. It was one of those with the newer axle. With the older axle, I just would have said, well, forget it. It would have been impossible. But they had sorted out the problem, and we were always forgiven. Because I think the CEO left. But anyway. And then around that same time, I did a trip through the Kruger National Park and an area in South Africa, the northeastern part of South Africa, called the Waterberg. One of my favorite places in South Africa, absolutely beautiful. And we towed some different caravans. And I slept in the caravan, I towed the caravan and slept in the caravan, and it was fun. It was fun. It was fun. I think just Martin, we'll put our two caravans there and let everybody else. I mean, there's plenty of space.
Yes.
I did my best for the client, but of course, there were things that were recorded that never ended up in the final TV show.
Now, to find out what caravan life, bush life, is all about. I haven't really enjoyed towing it here much. We'll see. Now, of these two caravans, I personally think the larger one is overkill. So I've selected to sleep in the smaller one to see what it's like. I'm not sure if I'm doing this in the right order, but this is the bedroom, I assume.
20 minutes later, and with the men from the Jergens factory helping me set up my caravan, everything was ready. I don't know, I thought caravanning was supposed to be quick, simple and easy. In this case, it wasn't.
I did not fall in love with sleeping in a caravan. Yeah, it was very comfortable. I did not like towing. Towing was fine. But now here's the thing. There's one of the reasons why I really don't like towing. And it's not that I don't like towing per se. I've towed big yachts and launched them. And I've towed horse boxes. And I've towed all kinds of things. And now caravans. So they give me one of these full-size caravans to be pulled with what was at the time the new Land Cruiser 200 turbo diesel. Nice vehicle. Whoa, this was really cool. And I said to them beforehand, I said, it's unloaded, yeah? It's got nothing in it. No, there's nothing in it. It's empty. So, okay, cool. All right. So, because I know that loading caravans and loading trailers, you've got to load them right. Otherwise, they can be unstable, etc. So I head off. And we're doing 120 kilometers an hour on the long road north. It's about a five-hour drive, and sitting on the road, and this caravan starts doing this behind the Land Cruiser. I notice it's starting to do this. So I brake a little bit, which makes it worse, of course. So I accelerate a little bit, and I start straightening up, and I'm now doing 130. So I would like to get the speed down. So I just take my foot off the accelerator, and as I take my foot off the accelerator, the caravan starts doing this. So I'm slowing down, I'm down to 120, I'm down to 115, I'm down to 110. By the time I'm at 100, this thing is swinging wildly behind the vehicle, and I'm starting to feel the Land Cruiser being pulled. So I put my foot on the accelerator. I get it up to 120 and it's stable. And I pull back on the accelerator, do the same again. And I did this four times. I was very patient, very patient. And eventually I got it to stop and I got the vehicle. And for a moment it was a bit scary. I mean, if you're doing that kind of speeds and your caravan is swaying hard behind the vehicle, it's scary. And I pulled over. Now, the producer was in amongst the, and the clients were all there. All these guys from Jurgens Caravans were all there. And they, you know, what's wrong? And I said, you tell me why it's doing that. And they were terribly embarrassed because they knew that I wasn't big on towing. And they wanted to convince me that this was the way to go. Yeah, this is the way. This is the way forward. This is comfort while touring. You've got to tow. And I agree. If you want ultimate comfort when towing, when touring, you've got to tow. I agree. But the question is, how much am I going to forfeit for the comfort? What are my trade-offs? So if the most important thing that I have is comfort, then tow. But my most important thing is not comfort. And I think that many, many people that pull trailers just pack them full of stuff that they never use. So I like the idea of living simply when I'm on a trip. I like to be, and then you might know, okay, my trip carrier is not minimalistic. No, it's not. But I don't have a lot of stuff in there. You know, I got one knife to cut bread and, you know, one big knife, not four big knives, one. You know, one spare plate, one bowl for mixing up food, not three, one. One frying pan. You know, I'm not minimalistic, but I'm also not lavish, okay? And I'm happy with carrying a minimal amount of stuff. But here we are, I'm carrying this great big caravan and it's got bedding and all of the bits and pieces and the stoves and all of the luxury stuff, and we're going to use them on the trip. But now this first leg, I've had the wits scared out of me and I pulled over and the client is, what's going on? They had left the water tank full. Now on that particular design, they had mounted the water tank in a, I'm surprised they did it, right at the back. And it's something like 150 liters. It's big. It's a big piece of weight hanging off the back of this trailer. And they put it right at the back, which surprised me a bit because as a design, if you have a lot of weight behind the axle, because the axle of the trailer is your center of gravity. Now you will have weight forward and weight behind, and you've got to get it right within certain parameters so it doesn't become a pendulum. Okay, and if your trailer ball weight is too light, means you've got too much weight behind the wheel, therefore the trailer will be potentially unstable. If you've got too much weight on the ball, then the opposite happens. So there is that you got to be pretty okay for any trailer to tow well. In this particular case, all of this weight right at the back. So they drained it and it was fine. But there wasn't this experience that said, I never want to tow again. It was lots of things. As I said, I've towed lots of things, but I don't want to tow my living quarters when I believe that there are viable alternatives to stay. And it's very easy to be uncomfortable when camping. That's very easy. It's far more difficult to be comfortable when camping. And what I love the idea of a camper type vehicle is that when the weather really gets lousy, you can actually climb inside and have some shelter. Ordinary rooftop tents don't permit that. So if you want shelter when the weather gets lousy, then you have to have some tenting arrangement around the vehicle to protect yourself from wind. That's not difficult to do, but it's a bit fiddly with poles and things like that. And if you don't want to go with a fiddly, then you go with a camper.
Ground is still frozen.
Yeah.
Ice frozen.
Yes.
In the early part of the series, I mentioned that I was building a camper, my six-wheel drive, and that the camper had to be suitable for exterior and interior viewing. Now, many of you in South Africa, maybe Australia too, maybe other parts of the world would be saying, well, why do you want to... I mean, the whole point of camping is being outside. I couldn't agree with you more. That's why we do this. However, in conditions like this, you actually want to be inside. Now, if it had been really windy at this very moment, it would be miserable out here. The rain is quite strong, so it's, I mean, we're getting wet. That's not terrible. but we can get totally dry and totally comfortable in there. That's why this camper that I'm going to develop has a dual personality.
Or if you don't want to go with any and you want full luxury, then you have to tow. So I realize that towing is good. It's a good solution for many people, particularly people with four people in a vehicle with a four-seater. You can't really get everything onto the roof rack, can you? Or into the back, can you? So towing is a viable option. So I think about my trips that I've done. Canning Stock Route. Could I have taken a trailer on the Canning Stock Route? Many people have, but the last section, you're not permitted to.
From here, the section of the track crosses Kunyu Station property. Basically, this is a cattle station. It's private property. And they've got certain rules that they've put in place. For example, no trailers and no large vehicles. And the reason why they've done that is, particularly with trailers, is they are so tired of helping people with broken trailers that they've just said, no more trailers. That's it, blanket ban.
I'm talking about doing the Gibb River Road this year. Can I take a trailer on it? No question about it. Can I do the other loop roads and little tracks that I want to do? Because I'm not just going to stick to the Gibb River Road, because that's just basically a quite a rough gravel road. It's not particularly difficult. I don't know. You see, I don't know. So if I arrive at a place and it looks very rough and I don't know if I can get my trailer through there. I know I can get my troop carrier through there. So really good off-road vehicle. It's really good. With a trailer behind it, it's no better than anybody else with a trailer. Because the trailer is now, can I get a trailer through? If I can get a trailer through, will I damage the trailer? I will likely damage the trailer long before I damage the vehicle. So, big question mark. Secondly, if I'm traveling along a very narrow track and it becomes very difficult, how do you tell me, guys? I haven't driven a trailer on extreme off-road. I did a bit of off-road with those caravans and things, but I really difficult off-road. I've never driven a trailer on really difficult off-road ground. How do you reverse when you get into trouble? Well, my guess is if you get into trouble, you have to get out and you have to unhitch the trailer. How do you do that on your own? You cannot do it on your own. So that means that if I'm now traveling and I decide to do a trip on my own, a trailer is not an option. Otherwise, I must just stay on the gravel roads and stay in campsites. Towing has its place. There is no question about it. And lots of people do amazing trips with trailers perfectly successfully. But I don't particularly want to tow one, A. B, I like doing some traveling alone, certainly only one vehicle. I don't particularly like vehicle. I mean, in fact, I hate driving in vehicle convoys, big vehicle convoys. Maybe a small one is fine, but a big one, don't enjoy it. That's me. But then if you're in a convoy with your mates, with your friends, then I don't see a problem with towing, even towing a caravan, an off-road caravan. And on the other hand, if you want to pull a boat, what option do you have but to tow? You don't have an option. Therefore, tow. But would you take a really big boat behind your rig along a really challenging track on your own? I wouldn't. I just wouldn't go there. But if I had a bunch of mates, sure. Sure. Because there's no alternative to get that boat to the water's edge. I have to pull it behind something. But if I've got a helping hand, a crew with me, it's a no-brainer. Tow it. But for living out of, there are alternatives that are almost as comfortable as a full camper, caravan, trailer. There you go. That's my reason why I don't want to tow. I don't want a tow. I will find another solution. In fact, I think I've found one for my next vehicle. You are welcome to start guessing. Thank you for watching.